Welcome to another episode of the Freeland's Wrestling Rewind. My name is Mike Freeland. I am your host. And as always, I am joined by the wrestling minds from all over around the world to join me in a discussion of what has transpired in the last 7 days in the world of professional wrestling. This week, joining us is the one, the only, the international man, Mr. Tony Cottam. He is joining us. Tony, how are you today, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm pleased to be on the only podcast that doesn't get drunk and send out hate tweets to people.
You know what? And I'm glad to be one where I'm not compared to a cartoon character. And our returning contributor, another co-host, Miss Kat, who's been away for a few weeks, but she is back. Kat, how are you?
I'm good. I lived. I made it.
And for all of you who are not familiar with the situation, I almost said storyline, Kat. Oh my God.
Boy. It's all an angle. Kayfabe.
That's right. Yeah. Life's one big angle.
Don't tell my boss.
Kat was out and she is back now. She was recovering. She had a casket match and she landed on the end of it wrong and she lost her smile, but yeah. She's recovering and she's going to be okay. Kat, it's good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, I've got my smile back, everybody. It's okay. We're going to make it.
A successful smilectomy.
There are so many things to get to. Smilectomy. I like that.
That's too what I actually had.
You know what, you guys, just from our interactions together, I feel like at least one shirt should be made. So I think we need to get the Halifax mat on top of this. We need to have our own shirt. Would you agree?
Yeah, there needs to be a wrestling rewind shirt somewhere.
There needs to be a wrestling rewind shirt.
Definitely needs to be a Katie Vick scale.
Oh, the Katie Vick scale definitely needs to have. You're familiar with the Katie Vick scale, right, Kat?
Yes. Yeah, we've discussed.
We're going to definitely have to whip out the Katie Vick scale. But guys, there's so many things that we want to talk about this week. JBL, what's going on with that guy? Loose lips, sync relationships. What happened there? We're going to talk about Chris Jericho. Uh-oh, photobomb. He posed with some people from Impact Wrestling. Does that mean something? Is that some foreshadow or just some other Canadian friends of his? We're going to be talking about NXT, which right now seems to be one of the hottest brands on the network, and all over wrestling for that matter. Lars Sullivan's getting the call up. Kat's going to tell us how she feels about another person departing from NXT. All of that and so much more we have to get to. But right now, let me go ahead and let's start off with this one right off the bat. JBL, what in the world happened? Kat, tell us a little bit about this. What happened on social media and what has been the response been?
So from the context of the situation, he just like, it was his birthday, I guess. So as you do when you're JBL, you're like, you know what? I'm going to get trashed because it's my birthday and I deserve it. So he like got drunk and like was tweeting about how he'd kick Cody Rhodes' ass and like beat his dad's ass. And I was like, what is happening here? I like screenshotted all these because I was like, is this like for real? Like, is this really happening? And then the next day he was like, yeah, I was drunk. Sorry. Like, what are you doing, dude? Like, you're a grown man.
We all know when you get drunk on your birthday, you just start shouting obscenities about people that you could beat up and people who are no longer with us to defend themselves. Tony, the effects of alcohol, we all know that they can definitely change your perception on things. What was your take on this whole thing?
I would say I have very little experience with alcohol as I'm sitting here with a whiskey. generally, there was one of the phone companies in Britain a while ago. They did this thing where if you knew you were going out and you knew you were going to have a few drinks, you could text call and they would block all outgoing texts and phone calls from your mobile phone for 12 hours so you couldn't drink, dial anyone else, so you couldn't drink, text anyone. And I think JBL really needs that at the moment. I've seen a bunch of his tweets. I'm actually looking at them now. So his first one was, okay, not wanting to come back, but I could beat # Cody Rhodes any day in any match, just like I could have beaten his daddy. It's simple math. And it got worse from there on in. One of them was like, I'd kill Cody Rhodes, please.
Yeah.
And then, so then Cody fires back. It's like, I can't remember exactly what Cody said, but it was a withering put down. And then he retweeted someone that says old people shouldn't have Twitter. So I'd done this image. You know the old bit from Simpsons where Homer's looking at an old newspaper and there's a picture of Grandpa Simpson with his hand up in there and the headline says old man yells at clouds.
Yes.
I'd photoshopped JBL's face onto that, tweeted it at Cody Rhodes. And it seems to have gone semi-viral. It's like nearly approaching 400 likes now. I wish to stop because my phone keeps running out of charge.
That is awesome. Okay, guys, let me ask you this question. We've all engaged in adult beverages, like what I like to call adult Kool-Aid. So How many times have you, when you've been drinking, we'll first pose this to Kat, ever thought about, yeah, I mean, drunk dialing, drunk texting, that's going to happen. Okay. That's going to happen. But no angry. I've never drunk dialed nor drunk texted anybody, but I've never gotten belligerent. Like, he can't be that gone. He's putting coherent sentences together. How much of this is he trying to blame on alcohol, and how much of this is him just being sour?
It's just, like, so out of nowhere. Like, there's, like, no context behind it. Like, unless they had some, like off-internet conversation, which is always possible. But, like, what did he say to you that you felt like you had to react that way?
I mean, the JBL's not known for being the most tolerant of people who are, shall we say, better than him. Anyway, you only need to look at his rumors of his hazing in the WWE for that. But, I always saw JBL, when he wasn't having to deal with the wrestling bubble, he seemed to be... not likable, but, quite dry, quite witty. That's those sort of tweets, they don't ring true of anything he's ever tweeted before. I think you really do have to put it down to being drunk, or maybe he's partaking of some of the local beverages and other products of the Bermuda where he lives now.
Yeah, it just seems very, very odd. Like, JBL has had this history follow him and of bully. And mm-hmm. we've seen so many cases, and I can personally tell you, I'm not going to speak for anyone, but I know certain wrestling personalities that have said that he has not exactly always been the most gracious individual. And I'm not saying everybody's got to be buddies, but just very rude and not the nicest to be around in general. Tony, I'm not name dropping so far, and we're only 2 minutes into the show. So,
clang.
but yeah, I mean, what he did to the announcer for NXT, I mean, let's just kind of talk about that for a second, because that was horrible.
Yeah, model.
Right. And you being a big NXT fan, Kat, let me ask you this. When that story broke with the two of them, that had to have just set you on fire.
Yeah, that was like, dude, come on. Like, you know that Mario is a big advocate for mental health rights, and then you're going to be like an asshole to him. Like, for real? It's, I don't know. It's like this weird, it's like the weird old head thing where like all these old dudes are like, I've been wrestling since before you were born. I know everything, and no one's ever stopped me before, and they let me do what I want. So, meh. And it's like, you're like a giant, you're like a big old baby. Like, shut up, dude. Like, it's the future now. Things are changing. You have to either catch up or get left behind. It's
and of
crazy.
Of all people to pick on as well, Cody Rhodes seems to be one of the genuinely nice guys in wrestling. You might as well just go out somewhere, find the puppy, bring it home and kick it, and then post a picture of that on Twitter.
Yeah, it's just so mean-spirited. And I feel like people have said this before. And once again, I haven't been around a whole lot of people who do drink. It's just, we had, back in 1994, I lost some family members on a vacation to a drunk driver. And we joined MAD. And I wish I knew more about this. I wish I knew. I think the organization still exists, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. But it's just one of those things where they say that a lot of your – who you are truly comes out once your inhibitions are let down. So, JBL has often been described as being a bully. I wonder if this is just verifying that theory even more, because there's no reason for that. Just none. And there was no reason for him to say what he said before about the SmackDown announcer. There's no call for that. And you're not going to like get rid of him for that. Like, hashtag be a star, WWE, no bullying. But yet, if it happens within the family, that's okay. Once again, it's the Dara O'Connor WWE hypocrisy.
I was just going to bring that up there. It's like they have Nia Jax and the Be A Star promos and the Alexa Bliss and the Be A Star promos at the same time. They're having this fat shaming, horrible body shaming angle going, it's you can't have your cake and eat it. I'm well aware that, I think everyone in general knows that your WWE is basically a giant TV show now. So you don't think that these people are the characters that they're portraying. But that doesn't stand for a lot of the kids and the little girls that look up to these guys, especially the likes of Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax, because the women's division has been a tear recently. And you only need to look at when Bayley comes out or something and, the crowd camera cuts to the crowd and you see all these little girls jumping up and down. And, you know, you can't do that sort of thing when you're saying with the left hand, no, don't do this, this is bad. And then on the right hand, it's like, no, this is just a storyline. You know, you can't have both of those going at the same time.
Yeah.
Sorry, with JBL as well, I looked back through Cody's Twitter feed and his recent interviews and stuff and JBL's recent stuff, and there was absolutely nothing to provoke this. There was no mention of JBL from Cody Rhodes. JBL hasn't mentioned Cody at all. It just seemed totally and bizarrely right out of the blue. I don't know. Maybe Goldust had tweeted about the football game that he was watching. Maybe that put the idea in his mind or something, but who knows what goes on in that man's mind.
The one thing I will say is, you know, the only thing, and I'm by all means not defending him at all, but what I'm saying is that when he says, oh, I would kill, you know, Cody Rhodes, he probably means as in destroy,
yeah.
You know, as in like, I would beat him easy. I would just, I like my team, the Jets, I can never say, oh, but the Jets would kill the Patriots. That's never going to happen. Okay. That's like saying I would look good in a thong. You know, it's just two things that you will never hear in the same sentence.
Are you really sure you haven't been drinking?
I know, trust me. That's why I don't have my webcam turned on right now. My gosh, I'm a hot mess. But yeah, it's just one of those things that it's just, I feel like the more you get to know wrestlers, the more you get to understand the lifestyle that they live, a lot of it, guys, a lot of it has to do with the traveling. A lot of it has to do with just being crotchety. Some of them are, I'm not saying everybody, drinking seems to be a very prevalent issue within the wrestling industry. And it's one of those things where I am really surprised we don't hear more about wrestlers being alcoholics than we do, because it's, man, they put themselves through a lot when they're in the ring, but I would say that they probably put themselves through even more torture from what they choose to do to themselves recreationally. Would you also agree to that, you guys?
Yeah, I mean, you hear a lot about like the pain pills especially, but I mean, I don't know if that's as prevalent now as it used to be, because I feel like before everybody was just like, oh, you're in pain here, I'm going to prescribe you some pills. And it was just like pills. And I don't know. That's one of those things that you don't hear about too much anymore. They keep that more under wraps. I don't know if like the younger guys drink like that.
Yeah. I think it's a more generational thing, because you hear Steve Austin and you hear Jim Cornette podcast, and they're always talking to, for want of a better word, the old timers. And they're always talking about driving along the road with a six pack of beer and throwing beer bottles at road signs and stuff like this. And that just doesn't go on these days. The wrestlers these days, they treat this as a proper, you know, athletic sport. They look after themselves, they keep in shape, they work out. I don't think the pain pills is as much of a problem these days. Maybe the drinking might be, but I think it has moved on from where it was, definitely, but it's still got to be an issue. I would say the further down you go in the scene, like WWE, I doubt you would have many with that bigger problem. But you know, on the indie scene where you get guys working the weekend, like the Weekend Warriors, doing it for $20 a shot, whatever, I think you'd probably find it more prevalent there.
Somebody was telling me at one point in time, and keep in mind, I only know the United States, so I don't know what drinking is, what is allowed and what is not allowed in other parts of the world. But I did hear that evidently during Mardi Gras, people are allowed to have certain containers open if you're within certain limits driving. Now, I know you're allowed to walk. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, why would you allow the alcohol with trying to do a vehicle with you have a bunch of other drunk people who may just being goofy, jump out in the street to try to act silly, and then you have someone who's silly behind the wheel, and it's just, but I don't know. Tony, let me ask you this question. When it comes to Europe, is it kind of similar with the United States where if you're driving, no open alcoholic containers? Is that correct?
Pretty much. In Scotland especially, the laws on it are really, really strict. They've recently dropped the blood alcohol limit for drink driving, so it's literally, I think you can maybe have a sniff of something and you would be over the limit. When it comes to drinking in public, you just can't. You can't drink off licensed premises. You can't drink off your own private premises. When you go to a bar that's maybe got a beer garden, there's like a fence, and once you're outside the fence, that's it. You can't drink. You're not even allowed to have an open alcohol container in the street or in a park these days.
I respect that. I really do. I think there's a lot of other places outside the United States. I think you would agree with me here, Kat, that, you know, as much as the United States claims to be proactive and, you know, moving towards, you know, making changes, I feel like in a lot of ways we don't make as many changes as we like everyone to believe we do, just with rights for different groups of people, marriage with groups of people, like, you know what I mean? We like to say we're progressive, but we are nowhere near the rest of the world.
No, I agree.
To be fair, we did need to do something with drinking in Scotland. It's probably the one thing in the world that we are world class at.
But you at least know how to do it the correct way. So if we ever deport JBL, if you are on that committee of determining whether or not to grant citizenship, would you grant citizenship or would you give the big thumbs down as Evolution did before they dropped Randy Orton?
Oh, no, America, you can keep him. You deserve him.
Wow, we deserve him.
Yeah, we have no home. There's no asylum for our president. And now we have a news contributor who's doing – oh, God, we're a hot mess.
Actually, no, send it to Canada. They gave us Justin Bieber.
Oh, hey, all he does is egg houses. I think we can handle that.
True, yeah.
So when it comes to the WWE, since we're already on this topic right now, we were kind of talking about the product itself. I mean, before we kind of segue into, you know, the world of NXT, let me ask you guys both this question. Let me start with you, Kat. When it comes to Raw, I mean, there's a lot of guys that – there's a lot of talent on Raw, but I feel like they are not utilizing them as well. Now, granted, Braun Strowman is injured. And I think that definitely plays a big factor with the Raw Championship, the Universal Championship, which we all believe at one point would go around his waist. It's now back on Brock. Yeah. What's your take on Raw and what aspects of it have you seen recently that you're like, oh, they are dropping the ball?
I've been very vocal about the one thing that is absolutely killing me. And it's this Drake Maverick peeing on all of Bobby Roode's stuff. I'm like, what? He is supposed to be the general manager of 205 Live. And I'm like, is this two different people? Like, is this like two characters in one body that are like operating in two different shows at the same time? Like, it's just so bizarre. I don't understand. Like, why is this happening?
I think we him as well, because Rockstar Spud is just such a nice guy. He will do literally anything that he's asked to do. Yeah, and honestly, to even change his name to Drake Maverick, I mean, could they think of a more generic name? They might as well have just called him Chad Dangerous or something.
Yeah, it's one of those things that just makes you scratch your head because it doesn't make any sense. And I've had this conversation with some other people before, but, you know, I think that the three of us have talked about this also. It almost seems to be like once something hits the main roster, it is only there for Vince McMahon's entertainment purposes. And if it does not make him laugh, then it gets cut from the script. So evidently this is something that must amuse him because keep in mind, it got the final approval, and as we all know, everything goes through Vince for final approval.
You just see Vince sitting in Gorilla slapping someone on the back, howling, laughing, going, ha ha ha, he's peeing, ha ha, isn't it funny? And his assistant going, yes, Mr. McMahon, it's hilarious.
Yeah, urination.
Exactly. He's urinating.
Urination. Wow. All right, let me ask you guys this question since, I don't think this will ever happen again because I don't think it can just for the fact that everything that they're trying to portray themselves as, kiss my ass club. Is there absolutely any chance, give me on a 0 to 100% scale, start with you, Tony, will we ever see the kiss my ass club?
As they say in wrestling, you never say never, never.
But if you had to put a percentage today.
Depends how annoyed Vince is with certain people. If CM Punk comes back to WWE, he will definitely go in that club at some point. I'll give it like a 5% chance of happening, but it's a Vince McMahon, so that 5% could rise to 100 on any given day, depending on what he's seen on his car ride into, you know, Titan Towers, or if someone sneezes around him.
Kat, what do you take about the Kiss My Ass Club making a potential comeback?
I just think it's like, we're in the PG era, and aren't they about to move to Fox or something? Like, I don't think you're going to be able to get away with that, especially if they go,
No, I agree with you, but I mean, we're in the PG era where urination is happening. And I know that on the big scale of things, it's not like, you know, Shawn Michaels stuffing something down the front of his trunks, acting like he's got a big wiener or having a big salami or anything like that. But do you still think, did they still consider themselves in the PG era, or do you think it's still within that realm, kind of, but they're kind of slowly getting away from it? What's your take?
It's starting to feel PG-13, like, because, like, you have, like, every now and again, they'll, like, pepper in, like, a curse word, like Becky will be like, bitch, and you're like, oh, they said it, did it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, even when they come over, So even when they come over to the UK and they always have some heel go on about calling, you lot of wankers. It's like, you wouldn't get away with saying that on like national TV on the UK before 9 o'clock, but because it's wrestling and they're in America, it's like, we could just get away with it. It's fine.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's a great assertion to what's going on. PG-13. So it's still kind of got that, but yet now it's kind of still getting a little bit away far enough to be edgy. I wonder if in some ways, you know, the wrestling community, as far as the writers and the mind be with Vince McMahon, realize that straight PG might have worked in the 80s, might have worked when things were a little bit more wholesome, but nowadays, pushing the envelope to some degree is still required. What are your thoughts, you guys?
If pushing the envelope gets us away from having Dean Ambrose suddenly decide that everywhere stinks just because he's a heel now and needing rabies vaccinations to go to Houston, then I'm all for pushing that envelope, because that was the most offensive thing on Raw because it insulted my intelligence.
Kat, what's your take?
I can agree with that. I don't know. I just... It's just such a weird time because, like, you never know what's going to happen next week. And you're always like, where is, like, you see the storyline, it's ridiculous today. And you know it's going to be ridiculous next week. But, like, how much worse is it going to get? Like,
yeah.
How much closer to the cliff are we going to be?
the clock is ticking towards midnight.
I feel like Dr. Manhattan watching this. It's just about to, like, everything's gone.
Triple H sitting on a moon playing with his NXT toys while Vince McMahon's in here.
Exactly.
There is a fantastic, and I know I'm going to butcher this, a fantastic quote that was used in the Dark Knight movie. And I think this kind of suits our situation really well. You know, and you guys may be able to say more correctly, but like Batman basically says in a monologue, he does, you know, you're the hero, but if you stick around long enough, you end up being the villain.
Oh, that's Harvey Dent.
Yeah. Oh, that was Harvey Dent? Okay. So if you don't have competition to put you under, don't they always say you are your own worst enemy? So what WCW could not do, what ECW, unfortunately, sorry guys, could not do, do you think WWE could destroy themselves in a way that allows another promotion to rise up and at least give them some level of competition? Or WWE, no matter how badly they do, is still head and shoulders above anyone else, regardless of what they end up doing?
I think financially, there's no one that's going to come close to WWE. They're a multi-billion dollar corporation now, especially with these two new TV deals. They could churn out Vince McMahon sitting in a rocking chair reading from Dr. Seuss for 3 hours Monday and Tuesday, and they would still make money. They are so far and above any other competitor. Everyone else is just playing for number two now, and that's not a bad thing. You know, not everyone can be number one. If you make yourself a clear and defined number two, that's as good as being number one in this industry.
Your thoughts on that one, Kat?
You look at, like, I guess, like, in terms of, like, North America, like, Ring of Honor would have probably been number two. But even then, after Final Battle, who's going to be left on Ring of Honor's roster? You know, like, it seems like everybody's getting ready to take off. And even what they're doing in the UK, how they've been talking about, like, they're buying out all the promotions over there with you guys. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I feel like because they're so easily accessible for everybody, they're probably always going to be number one. It doesn't matter how bad it is and how, like, annoyed we are with it. People still watch it. Like, people will be like, I hate this. I'm going to watch it, though. And you're like, What are you doing?
it's like people that search Twitter looking for things to be offended by. That's the equivalent of us watching Raw every week.
Exactly. You could just unfollow that person, but you keep following them to be mad about it. And you're like, stop it. Like,
I might be one of the few people, and I'll openly admit this. I was waiting for WWE to die. During the Monday Night Wars, I wanted it to happen. I was reading the dirt sheets. I was following things on the internet. And they often have said in WWE documentaries that it was very close. I would have loved, I mean, loved to have seen the company go away. Loved. Because at the end of the day, I was a more purist wrestling person. I mean, I did like Georgia Championship Wrestling. I did like what the Crockett's had done. I liked the more wrestling. I did not necessarily like all the cartoony stuff. So I was just on edge, and a lot of my friends were WWE fans, and they're like, what are you talking about? This is absolutely blasphemy. You want them to go under? And I'm like, I did. I wanted WCW, maybe not necessarily WCW, but someone to end that. I wanted it to be done. And It didn't happen. So I guess I'm one of those people out there, and I may be by myself, but I really would love for somebody to put the nail in the coffin. I really would. I mean, I would celebrate that day because I really feel what WWE has done with wrestling, for everything good they had done for it, as far as bringing it into mainstream exposure, making it more international, making it more accessible to people by associating it and tying it into movies and TV shows and merchandise and licensing. I feel like they have taken so many steps backwards that I feel like they have now just equally done more detriment to the product of wrestling as a whole as they have done in favor of it. Be honest with me, you guys. Tell me if you agree or tell me if you don't agree.
I think it always was international. I feel like, especially here in the UK, the highest ratings on TV for a long time in the 70s and 80s was the wrestling show on the Saturday afternoon, you know, Big Daddy versus Giant Haystack. So it's always had an international market. WWE have just looked at it and obviously thought, there's money there. Let's have some of that money because there's not enough money in the world that we can't have. They're in a little league of their own. They seem to live in their own little bubble. It's like when they talk about the WWE universe, you know, they actually mean that. Like, they don't see anything that goes on outside unless it comes to the point where it can make the money and they can take it over.
Are you just a pure WWE person through and through, Kat, that it would bother you if WWE ended up getting triumphed by someone else?
I guess I could preface. I'm not a WWE person. I'm an NXT person. Really, the only WWE product that I spend money on is my NXT tickets. And I finally broke my, like, year WWE shop hiatus because I bought those freaking Undisputed armbands because I'm a dork ass mark, but like I feel like the WWE is kind of like the evil empire, and it's like, you're never going to beat the dark side of the force, man. It's always going to be there. like they're always going to be there. But I think I credit the WWE for getting me into wrestling in the first place. And a lot of people, that's like your first exposure to wrestling, at least in our generation now. Like, I didn't grow up in the time of like territories. Like, I grew up watching
Easy.
I'm a baby. You know,
you have an old guy on the show.
I'm 24 years old. I'm 24 years old. And I didn't grow up in that time period. So for like my age group, the WWE is kind of like, this is my first time watching wrestling. And I didn't start watching other things other than WWE until I was about 17 or 18. And I realized that there was more than just this. And for a long time, I didn't watch WWE. I still don't watch the main roster. I have no idea what's going on up there. Like, I don't know the storylines for the most part. I just see little bits and pieces of it. So to say that they had died, it would have done like a service to wrestling. I don't know, because I don't think as many people would be into it.
I think as well, the more places there are for, air quotes, the boys to work is a good thing. And every sport needs a big bad. You know, baseball's got the Yankees, football's got Man United, wrestling has the WWE. But at the same time, if WWE come reverse a Brinks truck up to your door with a truck full of money, your morals might be tested.
Yeah.
Well, interestingly enough, you know, we did kind of touch upon this, but when it comes to the aforementioned NXT. NXT is definitely a lot more popular than the WWE is. And obviously, Kat is our resident NXT reporter and correspondent and part of the show. Tony, were you on the episode where we did talk about, or maybe it was just Kat and I, how influential Kat is when it comes to NXT?
What are you talking about?
Okay. Here's the deal. Okay. She has meetings with the writers. She specifically sits. She's a plant in the audience. You know, they will come to her and say, hey, listen, Kat, you're so popular. We're going to give you a shirt that we're going to hit. We're going to throw up on WWE shop. Once people see you're endorsing it, that shit's going to fly off the shelves. So,
oh my God.
All right, Kat.
Yeah, I listened to that show. I remember exactly where I was. I was walking along a Gale Street in the middle of a rainstorm, trying not to get too wet as I was standing in the doorway of a church laughing.
Kat, like, you are the resident NXT person.
I don't work for them.
Paul Heyman.
It's just happened by accident then.
Exactly, Tony. She just happens to make it on the hard camera. Sure. Wow. I'm just a fan. Right.
Watch me for the next 4 weeks, so get ready for it.
I was just going to say, you're making your come. More people are excited for you to come back to NXTV than they are Braun Strowman to come back. I mean, would not be surprised in the slightest if they were like, WrestleMania, it's going to be Ronda Rousey against the Cat. You know, and everyone's like, oh, Jerry Lawler's ex-wife? No, the new Cat.
New Cat.
You know, and there's going to be like a, wow. And then there you are. And it's going to happen.
Oh my God.
That's right.
It's actually funny because, like, since I've had my surgery, like, the surgery itself took, it was like 7 pounds I lost from that. And then just like the afterwards, I lost like 15 pounds. So I'm now a cruiserweight for the Cruiser Cat.
Wow.
Yes, I am officially a cruiserweight.
The Cruiser Cat.
Yes.
I like it. But wait a minute. All kidding aside. Okay. All kidding aside. You do get camera time because you are a very, very expressive sort of the product. Would you concur with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think so NXT is weird because like there's some people in the crowd that you can tell they only go put themselves over. And that's like a right. majority of the complaint about Full Sail in the first place. And I totally agree because I'm also complaining, but like I'm there. So it's not really the same thing. I'm like, shut up. But like some people who are regulars that are they're respectful, like, and they go at all, they do the loops, so they go around Florida, we follow the product, so it gets to the point where like people will recognize you and they know that like the performance can trust you, they're not gonna like touch them and make it weird or anything like that, and they tend to go towards people like Miss Anita and Tommaso Ciampa. Miss Anita is a big Johnny Gargano fan, she's a big Aleister Black fan, both of who Tommaso's been feuding with, and Tommaso just loves agitating her, and it's hilarious because he knows that he can trust her and she's not gonna like slap him or like do something weird that like some of the other people might do. So it's kind of like being a good fan can put you into that situation, I guess, but like not making it weird really, because like a lot of people make it weird. Like I see wrestlers at the grocery store and I don't bother them. I just let them, they're at Publix, like they're just trying to get some chicken. I'm like, yo, live your life, dude. Like I'm not gonna bother you.
I think one of the worst examples of fans trying to get themselves over used to be the heel section in TNA. They had held up signs called themselves the heel section, and it went out of the way to, you know, boo the good guys and cheer the bad guys. I think at one point they were known on the internet wrestling community as the TNA mutants.
Yeah, like it's like so unnecessary. Like just go and like if you like somebody, try to get them put over. You know, like you cheer for them, you bring them signs. That's not difficult. Because they do pay attention to that.
So when it comes to that, we talked about this once before, but it's worth addressing again. When it comes to the seeding for NXT, is it just festival style? I mean, do you just, once you get in the gate, you know, wherever you can go, or is it, you know, your ticket says you're assigned to here? How does that work?
So there is limited seating, in the chairs that you see like ringside, there's like 3 rows on behind hard cam. There's 4 rows on both sides of the ramp, and then there's like an ADA section that's on the side of the camera. So those seats are all numbered seats. I don't think ADA is numbered. I think that's just a bleacher. But the chairs themselves are numbered. So like those, they actually just raised the ticket prices to $15 to $20 from $15. And I think they raised the general admission price to like $15 instead of $10. But the general admission, you just sit wherever. Like it's like you pretty much like if you can get in, or if you get in line early enough, you're in to wherever you want to sit.
So do you? How early would you get there with your crew?
I every time that I've ever sat on TV side, I've almost gotten into a fight. So I used to, when I was sitting in when I sat in GA, I would wait until as late as humanly possible to sit on the other side because I just couldn't take it anymore.
I don't know. I think a cat fight on NXT TV would get over like Rover Cat.
No way, dude. I can't do it. I don't want to get kicked out. I was not ruining this for me.
Those ticket prices are insane. Like I know you're saying they've been raised, but even at that, that is so cheap compared to what we pay over here.
No, I heard, like, how much are the UK tickets, NXT UK tickets?
I went to see NXT at the Hydro about 2-3 years ago. It was just before they did the UK takeover in London, and I think it was the cheapest ticket for Up in the Gods. Up in the, like, the very top deck was something like £35. So that would be around $40-$45.
That's crazy. I mean, when they were taping in Atlanta, and those ticket prices were like considerably more expensive. I think it's just the venue that they go to. I think it's a different venue. It's a problem.
Now, if you had to ballpark, you know, let's say, and it's obviously packed to the brim, each NXT taping at Full Sail. Is that correct? I mean, they're not empty, is there?
There's like weird times of year where it kind of lulls out, but this last one, they actually had to put more seats on the floor to make room for people because there was packed.
Wow. So how many people do you think they can fit in there? Max capacity. No more seats are available. No more standing room. Nothing. I mean, that's it.
I've been told like 500, I think, was the number I was told. 500, 600 people. It's not a lot of people, but it's a lot of people.
Exactly. It's intimate to the point where they are so engaged in what's happening. It sounds like 30,000 people.
Yeah. I mean, it's a small-ish room. It's kind of like so Full Sail is like an art kind of school where they have like the communication arts and stuff like that. And the room that they use for that, I think, is their graduation area and like where they film like TV shows and stuff because they have all the cameras set up. It's just kind of like a learning room for the students, but it's not a huge room. It's like a little auditorium, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've always said this, and once again, you guys may or may not agree with me. I've always felt like wrestling is more of a watch on TV product than it is being there in person. And what I mean by that is it seems larger than life when you watch it on TV. It just seems different, if that makes sense. Like when I'm there in person sometimes, I don't feel like I have, and maybe it's the commentary and maybe it's the camera angles, but I feel like wrestling is very, very created or adapted for television. Do you guys think that it's better live or do you think they're watching it on TV?
I think it depends on the level of product you're going to see. Like I say, I've been on here ranting and raving about how good the family shows are, like the PBWs in Scotland, stuff like that, where it's like 170 people and it's aimed at kids. Watching that live, there's nothing to beat it. But something like the WWE, that's a grand promotion, you know, you go to the WrestleMania and it's 100,000. I can see that being something. But for me, if I'm watching one of the bigger shows, like either an ICW show or a WWE show, I kind of miss the commentary, because a good commentary can make a good match better and bad commentary can make a bad match even worse. So not having that commentary when you're sitting watching it as it's unfolding in front of you, I think does take a bit away from the product and some of the bigger stadiums.
Kat, your thoughts?
I've only ever been to the tapings. I've never been to a takeover, and I wonder if maybe, because I prefer watching wrestling in person. I don't know, like I like the energy, like I like the feeling of being in a room with all these people that are engaging with like a match. Like I think that's a really cool experience. And I think like the biggest show that I've been to WrestleMania before, and that was like cool, but I don't know. I feel like a lot of it depends on where you're sitting, because it's funny, like where we usually sit for NXT, I can hear Mauro commentary from my seat because he's so loud. He's got no idea how loud he actually is. So like I am across the room from him and he is still yelling loud enough that I'm like, oh, okay, that's what's happening. Thank you, Mauro. I appreciate it. But
so you have your built-in commentary already.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it helps that like I have friends that like my one friend Karen is like very well versed in like, every move, essentially. Like, and she'll just like call a commentary for me while we're sitting there. So I'm like, wow, I love this. Like, this is great. She's like my built-in commentary.
That's what it's like when we go to the big ICW show every year. There's me and three of my friends, and one of my friends brings his girlfriend along. So me and her three friends are like, we are oh that's terrible. And, you know, booking the match as it's going along. Well, if that was me, I would have done this. And meanwhile, his girlfriend's just like, oh, I want him to win. And we're like, oh, why do you engage with the character? Is it the angle of the match? And she's like, no, he's got the shiniest hair.
That's fair.
You never know what people are gonna like. It's just, and that's I think what makes wrestling so great, is because different people take different things away from a storyline or from a character. Some people may gravitate towards, you know, the athleticism. Some people may pull something away from just the character and the persona. Some people just like the way people dress. And you know what? That's okay. Because at the end of the day, if you gravitate towards the product and you enjoy it and it's something you like, well, then who the hell cares the reasons why?
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. These are some details that have come out. More details have emerged with the NXT UK contract situation and has been revealed according to the Wrestling Observer. Now, there's more news that's coming out revealing that the contracts between some of the major stars and some of the other promotions in the United K. Now, WWE has agreed with various UK promotions to go ahead and allow some of the UK performers to compete for other various promotions. However, there is a clause in the agreement, and Dave Meltzer is reporting that WWE's agreement is that it allows them to purchase and shut down the promotion if they want to. Now, guys, we kind of touched upon this at, you know, during our pre-production conversation, but it just kind of baffles me, like literally baffles me, that there is something literally written in a contract that would allow them to purchase and close down a promotion. Do you feel like in any way, shape, or form that was a good thing to agree to, even though you're getting the WWE rub? Or do you think, man, I never want to leave my fate in someone else's hands?
I think speaking on from watching ICW, we've seen ICW come, and I think this is the 11th Fear and Loathing show this year. So it's been going maybe 11, 12 years. The first show was in a Maryhill Community Centre hall in front of 75 people. And now they're booking out the biggest stadium in Glasgow in Scotland as well. I mean, we're not filling it, but they're still being able to book it, and they've got their own streaming service. And so maybe the guy that runs it might be thinking, oh, well, if this all is to tail off, then maybe having it in black and white that I can sell it to WWE for X amount, which I read was in the high six figures. Maybe that's what he's thinking, but I don't understand the concept of wanting to buy them and shut them down. Take them over for sure, but use them as like the way they used to run Ohio Valley. Use them as a developmental. Send these guys out. If these guys, the young guys that they've got coming through the NXT, if they can get over in NXT and they can send them to Europe for a year, maybe, you know, like doing the excursion like New Japan does, if they could get over in the UK market or in the German market or anywhere in Europe, then they can get over anywhere. And surely that's what would benefit both the wrestlers and the WWE in the long run, rather than just going, nope, you're getting too popular, just shut down.
Your thoughts on that, Kat?
Pretty horrifying, really. Like, it's kind of like relax. Like, just because you want to have the territory doesn't mean you have to, like, I don't know. It's just, it rubs me the wrong way. Like, it gives me like a weird feeling that's kind of like you don't have to go that hard. Like, you can just like you said, like, use it as a development. Like, you can keep the promotion still going. There's no reason to like take away someone's like investment in their like their baby, you know, and just like throw it away. Like, it just seems pretty extra to me.
It's kind of throwing a shadow on it as well, because maybe not so much me. I'm not a hardcore ICW fan like some of the people I know, but they've invested a lot into this company, you know, money-wise and time-wise, and even just like getting involved in the company and becoming addicted to it. And now, you know, it's at the whim of, for want of a better word, a madman's fingers. You know, he could snap his fingers and shut it down like that, and everything that they've plowed their time into is gone.
Yeah.
Well, I think something, you know, kind of associated with that promotional aspect as far as, you know, different territories that we've talked about this, not necessarily in the United States, because that those days, I don't want to say are long gone, because I feel like in some ways they're kind of making a comeback. But at least internationally, you have more international territories that are opening and that have different outlets for wrestlers to compete in, which is a really good thing. You know, one conversation I had with a wrestler who will be not named, said that when he wasn't working in the United States, that he definitely got an opportunity to work over in Japan, mm-hmm. and he got to work in Europe. So it definitely allowed him to continue to make money when, you know, the major companies like WWE and WCW did not, you know, have a spot for him on the roster. So yeah, I agree. I think that at the end of the day, you know, having other promotions living and being able to breathe and survive on their own is good. I hate the thought that WWE has their claws in on everything. And like, it would even bother me if a promotion was still running, but I knew WWE had bought them. Like, it would still bother me to that point where it's like, damn it. Like, why do they continue to have their finger on everybody? But maybe that's just me and my disdain for the way the company is.
I'll look back to the past when it came out that Vince is pretty much bankrolling ECW for a long period of time. It's not always a bad thing.
No, definitely not. And
but
like
this,
I said before, I've talked to people.
Shutting them down is.
Yeah, shutting them down
it is. Yeah, that's bad. Speaking of other companies who may be or may not be in the works of happening, we have talked about this before, but I think it's interesting to reach back out and readdress the issue. The Khan family, the owners of the Jacksonville Jaguars, which they are billionaires, Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, and Jim Ross, and Chris Jericho. There's been so much rumor and speculation surrounding all of them about the possibility of starting a new company. Now, obviously, there's been more news coming out that there is a lot of interest and a very good chance that we will see an all-in two. But Jim Ross says right now, and he tackled the question head on the Jericho's Rocking Rager. He said, no, I am not associated in any way, shape, or form right now. Now, he also made this clear on the latest Ross report. Ross addressed the rumors head on and made it clear he is not in business with Cody or anybody at this time. Now, is that really a definitive statement, or could that actually be the truth, even though he's not in business, but he's still associated with something coming up? Is this guy's just tactful words being used, not lying, but not also telling the whole story? Tony, we'll go to you first.
I never, ever believe anything a wrestler says in an interview anywhere. Jericho is known for trolling the internet and saying, oh, no, I'm not going to be there, even to the point of the day he was at All In with the Fozzy concert and had to get the private jet and stuff like that. If Jim Ross is saying he's not involved, I don't know. I'd like to think that Jim Ross is smart enough to know which way the industry is going at the moment, and the push seems to be towards these guys and All In Two or whatever. Elite Wrestling promotion, or All Elite Wrestling, I think that they filed the trademark for on Tuesday Night Dynamite or something like that. So yeah, Jim Ross coming on board for that. For me, I don't know if I'd necessarily want Jim Ross commentating, but I would want him on board the mind behind the scenes, definitely. He's smart enough to know if he comes out and says, oh yeah, I'm involved, then prices go up across the board, you know?
What's your thoughts, Kat, with all of the rumor floating around, and it seems like there's a lot of buzz, and you know just as well as I do with wrestling, where there's smoke, there's going to be some fire.
Yeah, I agree with Tony. You never know, man, because like they're all like going to be like slick about everything, and you're like, I don't know. I think it'd be cool if they did. I think it seems like Cody agrees with a lot of the mindset of like wrestlers should be better taken care of by promoters. And I think that if anybody was able to work with him and he actually can follow through on that kind of idea, that would be a good thing for everybody involved. But I don't know.
Tony, you had mentioned this before, as far as trademarks and the licensing is considered for future marketing and for merchandising. So All Elite Wrestling LLC has applied for trademarks, as well as AEW Double or Nothing, AEW All Out, Tuesday Night Dynamite, and the applications for AEW Double or Nothing and AEW All Out are accompanied by logos. While the filings for Double or Nothing and All Out and Tuesday Night Dynamite are merely standard character marks, there's a lot to be said for the fact this is even happening. And to go even just a little bit further, the address that is being used for the trademarks and licensing for the applications are for the Jacksonville Jaguar offices that are inside their stadium. So once again, you know, not trying to put the cart before the horse, but you know, it's kind of hard to ignore things like that. Do you think that this sheds any more credibility to the fact that something is at least happening? We might not necessarily know the involvement, but at least the Young Bucks are moving forward with something.
I think it's definitely signs that there's at least talks about it going on. I think we can count GBL out as a color commentator for them anyway, for a start.
I don't feel like he's going to be invited.
Hopefully something does come of it. Like Kat says, Cody has always been one for putting the health of the wrestlers forward. And if it does start his own promotion, it'd be interesting to see if he does offer healthcare and insurance for them all as well, if he's willing to put his money where his mouth is. So far, everything he said, he's backed it up with his wallet. So you can't fault the guy.
No, you definitely can't. I think that at the end of the day, I would love to see another promotion pop up. Now, you know, Jim Ross has mentioned before in interviews regarding all of this speculation that if you don't have TV, you don't have a product. Now, it's very interesting because we've kind of gone back and forth on this. Mm-hmm. You know, NXT is not on television, but yet they have a product. There's certain products out there that just do streaming. So do you think in any way, shape, or form that philosophy is not necessarily accurate, because you can still get advertisers and you can still generate revenue to keep a production going by having commercials, but on an streaming service? What would your thoughts on that be? We'll start with Kat.
I point to PWG first for kind of like a counter argument to that, because PWG is like only up until recently only been on Blu-ray and DVD, and they make a killing, and they were in this tiny venue, and it was sold out every single show. But now they're doing the streaming service, of course, through High Spots. But I don't think TV is necessarily this is the only way that you're going to get anywhere. I think a lot of the promotions that I watch, I can't watch on TV. I have to have a streaming service for. So I don't know if that's entirely accurate.
Tony, your thoughts?
Yeah, PWG was the very company I was going to mention as well for the same reason. DVD only and at the tiniest of tiniest venues, but they've still kept on going and they've still churned out excellent shows and talent year after year. Mm-hmm. And I bow down to superior wrestling intelligence of Tommy Dreamer. When I spoke to him a couple of years ago, he told me a wrestling company doesn't need TV. If you get the internet and you can get on a streaming service, then that's as good as TV, if not better, because then you're doing it on your own terms, not a TV company's.
Do you think with something like High Spot, you know, that other promotions may look at that and say, hey, look, if we can go ahead and make a deal, we can go ahead and get on something like this, and then we can, you know, start to gain a little bit of traction and, you know, maybe get the rub from other promotions that maybe people may be interested in seeing us if they like what else is on the streaming service?
You can actually watch Progress. I think you can watch ICW. You can watch a lot of stuff on High Spots. Like, I didn't know until I looked at the desktop site, because I was only looking at it on mobile, and then I looked at the desktop, I was like, I can watch all this? I had no idea. So there's a lot of people that are already using High Spots to get their product out. It's kind of like a hub. I mean, I know you can individually subscribe also, but I've been able to watch everything else through High Spots, so I don't know.
Well, what about this, you guys? You know, obviously, neither one of us, me or Kat, live in Japan, and obviously, no, you don't as well, the accent. But the interesting thing about this is, what about New Japan? Are they on form of television over there, or are they strictly a network-based product that you can see outside of going to them live? See, that's one thing I don't know.
That might be something to ask James, yeah. It'd be on TV, surely.
They have to have something. By the way, it's funny you mention that, because the Freeland Wrestling Rewind is brought to you by the Truepenny Show. If you're interested in all things wrestling internationally, specifically in the world of Japan, check James and his crew as they break down everything that is happening in the world of wrestling, from everything that's happening in New Japan, All Japan, and all points in between. Check them out. You can find their podcast anywhere where fine podcasts are made available. And if you want to get in contact with them, they are on Twitter as well, at the Truepenny Show. And if you want to get specifically in contact with James, you can reach him at Sheriff Lone Star. Once again, the Truepenny Show, the reason the Freeland Wrestling Rewind is available. So I don't know the answer to that question. That you're right, Tony. That would be something that would have to be posed to James to find out. But I would assume, as popular as wrestling is in Japan, on some level, it has to be on television.
Must be on there somewhere. I'm not even sure what the Japanese television landscape looks like. I barely understand the American television landscape, to be honest.
It's just very interesting when you look at the different dynamics for the different promotions and territories all over the world, you know, how they deliver their product to the consumer, and whether it is more digital and streaming or whether it still uses the conventional television model for business. But I do think we would all agree that regardless if you have television exposure or not, you definitely have to be mobile. You have to be streaming, because right now, like any restaurant you go to, or you ride on the bus, or you ride on the subway, or anything, everyone's got their phone in their hand. So the more accessible you can be and the easier access you can be to somebody to maybe catch highlights of a match or even a whole pay-per-view if someone has a long train ride, or a great podcast where someone can listen to you when they're on a long train ride, it definitely allows you to be able to consume something without having to be home connected to a TV.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. No, you're fine.
No, I was trying to see
what the
TV channel was.
I feel like that was a commencement speech in high school.
Like, yeah, I was like, wow, that was official.
Hello? It was. It really was. You know what? This is what happens when I drink coffee. Like, literally, my legs are shaking under the table. I'm dying for another cup. It's like crack. I literally, like, I don't understand. I literally have no concept of why people would choose any other substance to consume in their body recreationally than coffee. Literally, I mean, I will eat the grounds if I literally have to. Like, I haven't, but I would.
Just step away from the coffee, Mike.
Yeah, really.
I know. This is bad. It was funny. I didn't have coffee for like 2 days. Okay. I didn't have any coffee. And I literally had the worst headache. I thought someone took an ice pick and was jabbing me in the eye. And I forget where I was. I think I was at a store. My wife and I were picking up Thanksgiving decorations. And this one woman walks up to me and like, I feel like a total jerk for this. And she's like, oh, she's, I really like that pilgrim. It's a pilgrim decoration. And I was like, I'm buying it. And then my wife looks at me like, you are the biggest D-bag. And I picked it off the shelf and I didn't break eye contact with her. And she slowly turned her cart, walked away. And why did you do that? And I literally looked at my wife, no rationale. And I said, I love Thanksgiving. What? It's
my precious. My precious.
Exactly. God. What the heck is your problem? You are one lunatic. But yeah, and then I had Starbucks and I completely went back down to normal. I was like, oh my God, this poor woman probably really wanted this for her table. I should fire her. But no coffee, Mike. It was like, screw you. So
no coffee for 2 days before you talk to Mikey and Jerry.
Oh my God.
All right. So
my goodness.
On the tail end of this topic, one, they do air on TV. The channel is called, and I'm probably going to butcher this, TV Asahi.
TV yeah. Asahi?
And they also air on Access. I know they play like and over here on Access TV. But that's like they play older shows. Nice.
Yeah, nothing here at all.
And it's also worth noting that Miss Brandi Rhodes keeps talking about buying a house in Orlando and or Tampa. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, man. So there's a lot to this. And I think they're trying to tease it to just to whet everyone's appetite to say, is it going to happen? Are we going to see this? Yeah. And they're like, no, maybe we won't. And she's posing in bikinis with like those gloves from like a Palmolive commercial. I don't even know what goes on with that or why she did that. But there is something. I love her. I do. She is we'll leave it at that. She is a very good personality for wrestling. I will leave it at that. Because we have a woman here on the show. You never want to come across as that guy that's kind of like, well, I think I said this to my wife, Megan. We were watching a show and, she was like, you really like wrestling a lot. Like, when did you start watching it? And I said, well, back like, I don't know, 85, 86, I started watching. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Miss Elizabeth. Oh my God. I tell you what. Let me tell you about Miss Elizabeth. And I went right into the wrestling fan, like just drooling over this one. And she just like turns her head slowly and looks at me and she's like, and that's enough. And I was like, okay. All right. My bad. All done. But yes, Brandi Rhodes, good feeling, very nice person. She seems like she's got a great personality. All right.
I was wondering what the last word there was gonna be.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my gosh. And she cleans a mighty kitchen. All right, we're done. Oh my God. I think I need water or scotch now. But yes, that will wrap that up. Let me ask you guys this question here. You know, we know that Chris Jericho has, you know, made many comments that he is a free agent, that he's able to basically go and do what he wants and when he wants. Now, keep in mind, he is still the Intercontinental Champion. In New Japan Pro Wrestling, but there's a lot of thought that he may be branching off and doing other things in the United States, specifically with an Impact Wrestling. Now, how do you see something like this happening? Do you foresee it happening because of his relationship with Don Callis and Scott D'Amore and Mr. Nordholm? Do you think we would ever see Jericho making an appearance on Impact to maybe help them get a better TV deal as far as negotiating? We'll start with Kat.
I don't know. I mean, like you said, like he does have like, I guess, acquaintances there, but I guess there's not really a reason not to, but I don't know how long he's going to keep this New Japan thing going.
Do you think Wrestle Kingdom might be where he drops the belt?
Maybe. Hopefully.
wait a second. Hold on. Don't play coy here. Maybe, hopefully. Spit it out, Kat. Give us your hot take. Are you liking him as the champion, or are you feeling that he's not the right guy for that? Maybe because of a level of maybe dedication to the brand.
A little Lesnar-y for me.
Yeah?
Lesnar-y for me.
And that's fair.
He also needs to leave my goth girlfriend Evil alone, so we gotta fight.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So it struck a nerve. I was like,
boy, if you don't leave him alone.
I honestly don't think I've ever seen anyone as confused as Evil when he was at the Ring of Honor Global Warning Tour in Edinburgh, and there was all these Scots people coming up and telling him, you know, oh, we love your work, and he's just standing there going, thank you. I literally only heard him say thank you and yes and no and look frightened for his life when he was stood behind the desk trying to sell t-shirts.
That's so funny because my friend Karen speaks Japanese, and like she's just like the like just an average white human being, and like it's the funniest thing because every time she's ever done a meet and greet with like the Japanese talent, they're always like like she met Kenny and Kota. And she's talking to Kota in Japanese. Kenny is talking to somebody else, stops mid-conversation because his ear is like, what? And he turns around. He's like, in Japanese, you speak Japanese? And she just blows people away. Yeah, so she got LIJ to kind of like lighten up because they were all like, oh my God, she can actually talk to him.
And that's not an easy language to learn either. I mean,
no, she's a talented human being.
My God, you know things that I've always wanted to learn, which I never will. I've always wanted to learn Braille. I've always been fascinated with Braille, how that works.
Yeah.
I never will figure it out, but I've been fascinated with that. And I've also been fascinated with being very fluent in another language. And, you know, in high school, and I don't know if it's necessarily for Tony, but with you and I, Kat, Spanish, I think they had Spanish and probably French, maybe Italian in high school, but most people took Spanish. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yeah. I may take it because I live in Florida and I could, as well.
There you go. I live in Ohio.
Yeah. Like
if you don't speak Hilljack, then you're not good. And Hilljack is just basically hillbilly and, you know, how y'all doing, you know, one of those things. But I could not even comprehend Spanish. So I have no chance. I mean, that's probably on the more comprehensible, understanding, not that terribly far away from English. I can't get that. So there's no way I'd ever be able to pick up a Japanese. No way.
Yeah.
We had French and German in my school. You could take either one, but you had to take one of the two. And I'd safely say I forgot 95% of the minute I left school.
Oh, no.
I don't know if this happened to you with that, but like once you're in a foreign language class, they actually want you to, I guess, pick a name to be called from that language. And I was just such a D-bag at the time. So I was taking French. Okay. And she's like, what do you want to be called? And I'm like, Mike. And she's like, that's not a name. Do you want to be Michelle? I'm like, no, isn't Michelle a girl's name? And no, Michelle, that's Michael. And so, yeah, I'm done. I have absolutely zero chance of becoming a worldly cultured individual. I've given up on that in 2000. So I did want to ask you guys this question. You know, we've kind of talked about several things here. Let's first go to Kat. What are some things that have happened in wrestling recently that have really kind of perked your ears? That's not intended to be a kitty cat reference, but may caught your attention, I should say, and made say, that's kind of interesting.
I mean, I pay a lot of attention to the people that are moving to Orlando because I'm probably going to end up seeing them soon. I don't know if I can I say. I don't know if I can say. Wait, that might not have been a good thing to do. Hold on. I know.
Uh-oh, hold on. You mean as far as wrestling personalities?
Yeah, like wrestlers that are moving to Orlando and kind of getting situated.
No, that if you want to kayfabe it, we totally understand.
I don't think it matters.
But you have You have no idea that when we release this, people are going to be like, what did she mean? She said somebody's going there. What?
Okay. So I know that Swerve, our good buddy, Shane Strickland, is looking to jump over soon. So that's exciting because I love him. But I've also heard the whispers of ACH coming. And ACH is an angel, and I love him, and I wanted to protect him at all costs. So that's pretty cool.
Wow. Yeah. That is exciting.
So that's kind of like, I always like look for like people that are going to be coming over soon because I'm just excited for it.
Why would you use your money and subscribe to Meltzer and for his inside reporter, Wade Keller, follow the cat? Man, she's telling you who's buying houses in what neighborhoods. I tell you.
I've got
rumor has it they just got a membership at the Y. Not going to say anything. Wink, wink. It's on the corner of Smith and Sutton. I saw them on the elliptical.
Like, what? Holy cow.
But yeah, that's just stuff to look forward to in maybe the next couple classes. Just some, you know, I give you some tips for the free. I don't even make you subscribe to me.
Well, if you do, Kat, you know, have more inside information, would you allow this show to be where you break news?
I can do that, I guess. Yeah. I mean, as long as, like, if I know the person and they're like, don't do that, and they, like, spray me with water, I won't do it. But if I don't know the person...
No, we're not going to get you sprayed with water. We will stay way, way, way afar of that.
Yeah.
Tony, let me ask you this question. Anything that's happened in the last 7 days that's caught your interest or made you say, wait a minute, that's kind of interesting?
I don't think it's a hot take, but Becky Lynch on the internet has been like the queen, the man. She's been absolutely incredible on Instagram the past few days. The stories she put up the past couple of days about Charlotte comparing it to Frank Grimes was just a work of genius, and it should be stored in a museum somewhere.
Yeah, Becky Lynch, I mean, my gosh, it's so interesting when you have a talent who is really, really good, but just needs that one moment to really grab everyone's attention. And in my opinion, that fight really, the bloody face and everything, and yet she was still so willing to keep going. That really, in my opinion, brought her to a new level. And I think Becky Lynch right now, you know, they had scheduled to have that match at Survivor Series, but then when they said she had a broken face. Now, I don't know medical terms, okay? A broken face, like they couldn't say like a fractured cheekbone, broken face. So for everyone who knows medical terminology, is broken face even real?
It's back to the gorilla monsoon days with the external occipital protuberance.
Yes, I was going to say, are we just making stuff up as we go here?
No, I think it was like a cheekbone, right? It was like into her nose or something.
I think it was a facial laceration, and it was a fracture to like an orbital socket / cheekbone, nose. I think it was in that region.
But yeah.
I think WWE was just like, oh, I tell you what, let's just tell him she broke her face. And it's like, okay, cool, we'll go with that. Broke face. Yeah.
These people won't understand words.
But yeah, I think the world of wrestling has been very interesting in the last 7 days, and I feel like things are only going to get hotter. Some things that I want you guys to do, definitely keep in mind if you are, you know, big wrestling aficionados. I definitely think it's interesting to follow Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb has been an amazing wrestler, and he's worked in Lucha Underground, and now he's with Ring of Honor, and he recently gave an interview of where he would like to wrestle in 2019. If you don't follow Jeff Cobb, I personally think he's one of the best wrestlers that's out there right now. Definitely follow him. You think he's really, really, really good. As far as Lucha Underground, I know we haven't really talked about it a whole lot recently. Let me ask you this, Kat. Do you get to see a whole lot of Lucha Underground? Do you keep up with Lucha Underground, or is it unfortunately those things that kind of gets lost in the shuffle?
It's kind of one of those things that gets lost for me. Like, I'll see like little updates from it. I mostly see a lot of updates about their women's division. I really couldn't tell you what's going on with the men's division, but I see a lot of what's going on with the women.
Yeah, Lucha Underground seems to be interesting, and I believe right now Jack Swagger is their heavyweight
Jake
champion,
Savage.
I want to say.
Yes.
Jake Savage, yeah, okay.
Because there's another amazing name.
So he's
one step away from being Jake Maverick.
So that's what's going on with that. Let me ask you this, Tony. As far as Lucha Underground, were you a fan of Lucha Underground? Are you a consumer of their product? Do you try to keep up with what's going on? Or like Kat, would you say, yeah, it's there, I try to see it when I can, but it really gets lost in the shuffle? Yeah,
totally the same. We don't actually have access to anywhere in the UK. I think it's just popped up on Netflix, but I haven't checked that for a fact yet. But through ways and measures, I acquired some episodes to watch and absolutely loved it. I just love the idea that it's a wrestling show set in a cartoon universe where people can be killed by pulling their hearts out through their chest and teleport through time. I mean, it's just amazing. You just watch some of the Ultimo Lucha finale matches and the angles that go on around it, and it's fascinating to see that this still works in this day and age. It's brilliant. But no, it's not got a big enough penetration to the mass media, I don't think, to survive for much longer. It's a shame. It's another thing. It's, you know, another good place for the guys to go and work. Some of the stuff they've been doing, they introduced me to so many people like Pentagon and Ray Phoenix and people like that. You know, it's a shame if it dies out. And Daniel Cueto is the best general manager ever.
Something else I want to mention here. A lot of people have been mentioning on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, Aleister Black got married.
Yeah, that was a weird one to me. Last that anyone in Scotland knew, he was going out with Isla Dawn, who's just part of the WWE UK Women's Tournament as well. So even up until like earlier this year, they were still an item seemingly. So this wedding to Zelina Vega seems to have come out of nowhere.
I'm winking at you, but none of you can see it. That's my later. Brew that teapot. I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it. Get that teapot.
Wow. You know what? Listen. You know what? You know what? This is the, all right. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I don't care. What? Where is it? God, where's my? No, hold on. Hold on a second. Props, let's see. How is this? Oh, that's not what I wanted. Doggummit. Where's? All right. Let's see if this is going to work. Come on. Oh, there we go. That's it. Now I want to see that damn wig. I tell you what, now you can look at my ugly mug. I can see Tony.
I'm not doing it. I'm in my...
Oh, that's it. I'm in my pajamas.
I am in my pajamas.
This... Camera on.
I don't have Mike. My life together. It is Saturday.
Mike, you're not dealing with Sunny here. Come on.
Yeah. That's true. I'm just saying, I feel like she's holding back. I think she knows more saying this is more than just buying property. Okay. Oh, okay. She has the E True Hollywood inside
all
scoop.
I'm so say let me is that they have cats together, and if you follow the Team Palm Tato Instagram account, you will see that their cats moved in together.
He's the cat or something like that.
He's called
dead,
yes. I always yell, do it for Toddy at him. Toddy. It's like those flat face cats. Like, do it for Toddy!
It's so weird because he is legitimately the most skinny man that I've ever been in the presence of. He walked by me at an ICW show once and I literally held my breath in case I offended him.
Oh, he's beautiful. No, he's so nice. He's a mess, but he's so nice.
He looks scary as hell.
See, I can't say anything because I'll probably have that many tattoos someday and people will probably say the same thing about me.
I mean, it didn't have that many tattoos at the point I seen him. It was just the fact that the way he carries himself and he's got that glare, you know.
Right.
He looks at a pot of water and it would boil instantly.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't know that they got married. That was a shock to me.
Oh, now it's a shock. We went from 2 minutes ago. Hey, they got married. Wink, wink.
The marriage was a shock. The relationship was like,
That's what happens when you're on the inside of NXT. You know everything. Tell you what, she's stage. Tony, don't let this sweet, innocent voice fool you. She knows a lot. Meltzer is tweeting her going, hey, you going to give me the juice? What's going on here? For all fans of football, and I should probably clarify, North American football. Not sure if a lot of people who listen to this are NFL fans. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. You know, I personally like football. And it was announced, the teams, that the XFL is actually going to be going with. So do you – I mean, I'm sure you watch sports, Kat. Do you watch the NFL
at all? I am not a sports ball fan. my fiance's into it. I feel bad because I like can't get it. I don't know. I just don't have like the attention span to like commit to it. But I don't really watch it. I didn't actually even know. I think I saw somebody talk about the XFL the other day, but I didn't like do any further research into it. I don't really know what's going on.
Well, they recently went ahead and made an announcement that there are more teams that have been announced. Well, Tony, are you excited about this?
They were going to announce it on December 5th, but apparently if you went to the XFL website, there was a contact page that had contact info for all of the 8 cities. So they've kind of unrevealed it themselves against their better wishes. So I've seen it. It's Dallas, Houston, Los Angeles, New York, St. Louis, or St. Louis, I'm not sure how that's pronounced, Seattle, Tampa Bay, and Washington. So yeah, by setting up their website, they actually accidentally revealed the big reveal that they were going to do on the 5th.
They WCW. Yeah,
because my WCW.
Oh my god. Yeah, it's interesting.
I do watch NFL. I'm a long-suffering 49ers fan for my sins. Even though I'm wearing a Houston Astros baseball cap just now, don't ask me how I pick my teams. It's a long, complicated story. but yeah, I have no interest in the XFL at all, unless they do this scramble for the kickoff ball again. I'll watch that.
I'm interested to see what they're with it, how they're going to change things from the way it was originally many, many moons ago. But, you know, obviously they have another promotion that is going to be starting up, I believe, next year. So they're actually going to have a leg up on them. And I feel like it was the production company and Dick Ebersol, everybody who was a part of the XFL, they're now doing their own. So I wonder if this is going to cause kind of a little rivalry in some ways, or if maybe they'll be there and then they'll be gone. What are your thoughts, you guys?
If it's like the last XFL, it'll be halfway through the season when you realize it'll be done. I don't know. I think this is, it feels like it's a knee-jerk reaction to the protests against the NFL. Vince is seeing a gap in the market and going, ha, 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 people don't want to watch the NFL. We'll give them some football to watch. And it's just going to crash and burn the way the last one did.
Yeah, the last one had, it had potential, what I'll say, because there was some talent out there. But I feel like it was mismanaged. I feel like they were pulling people, resources from the wrestling side, and they were throwing them into football, which really wasn't working. It seems like now they have all football minds that are going to be working just on this product. There will not be any brand crossover. It will just be its own separate entity, and the football people will do football stuff. Wrestling people will do wrestling stuff, and that will be that. But it is still very interesting to see what exactly will happen with the XFL, because in his dying day, I feel like Vince McMahon is going to be one of the people who always had his hand in the jar. Mm-hmm. He's always been trying to do something totally different. Back in the late 90s, there was an interview that was done, and it was asked, what's the one thing, your ultimate goal to do, Vince McMahon? And once again, if you can find this on the web, I think that would be terrific. He said, hold on, Matt Moon.
Realistic.
Don't fear the limb keeping.
Wow! Wow!
Holy cow. He just pooed all over Max.
Damn.
I do want to, Tony, you mentioned that there was some promotions that you wanted to talk about as well over in Europe, and talk about what's going on. That is, the floor is yours.
Yeah, it's the annual TW Big Show of the year. It's called Fear and Loathing for reasons which I've never quite assumed. But in the past few years, when I started up in popularity, they were doing like maybe 500, 600 capacity shows at me. And then all of a sudden, it took off because of Greedo, because of Drew McIntyre, because of the publicity they got. And they graduated to doing like Barlands Ballroom, which is a world-famous music venue, holds about 1,500. And then they went to the SEC, which is a big concert hall, about 1,000. And it's graduated. They're in the Hydro, which is one of the biggest, I think it's the second biggest concert venue in the, that's can be set up for 11,000. But the first year they were there, I think they had the top deck to be set up for something like 8,000 or so. And they got 6,500, which was respectable. Last year, they got about 4,000. And this year, from what we're hearing, it's maybe they've sold less than 2,000 tickets. So this might be the last stand at the Hydro for a little while anyway. But yeah, it's become a tradition with my friends. It's like I have a friend that lives in London and a friend that lives in Venice, and my friend lives in Glasgow. And we all meet up and we go for a meal, we go for some drinks, we go to see some wrestling, and then we dissect the wrestling afterwards in the bar. So this year, we don't have as many of the big members. I mean, we've had Kurt Angle, Kevin Nash, Finn Balor, we've had people like that in the past. This year, it's mostly a couple of WWE UK guys. I mean, the match headline in the card is Jackie Polo as champion against Lionheart, with the title as a career on the line, building up like 2-3 years, that program. That's like very ICW specific. But then further down the card, you've got Noam Dar's coming back for the night. So we've got Noam Dar, BT Gunn, and Wolfgang against Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, and Trent Seven, which for me, that's the match of the night, hands down. That's, Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
You've also got Greedo against Cowboy James Storm, who seems to have found a new home here in ICW. You've got Viper versus Kaylee Ray in a Queen of Insanity death match, which, again...
Ooh, that's going to be good.
Yeah, Kaylee Ray and Viper stole the show a few years ago. Kaylee Ray is one of the best wrestlers in the world, let alone women's wrestlers. She's just one of the best wrestlers. We've got WWE UK guy Joe Coffey going against his brother for the Zero-G title, which is their like second-tier title. And then, tell this one to Mikey, he's got an interloper. We've got Joe Hendry versus Mikey Whiplash.
I always get these mixed up.
Then we've got like a multi-man tag team ladder insanity titles on the line match. So you've got a couple of local guys like the Kings of Catch. But then we've also got Mark Haskins and Jimmy Havoc tagging up, and the Briscoes. Yay, the Briscoes. Can't wait to see them. Yeah.
Them for me.
Yeah. The ICW fan base hasn't been totally accepting of them there, it has to be said. Also got Aaron Echo versus Kenny Williams, so that's another WWE UK guy there. Kenny Williams is a huge favourite in ICW. He comes out to the Back to the Future theme music and skateboards down the ramp and stuff like that. It's fantastic. tag team title match, you've got Jack Jester and Sha Samuels against Yeston Reese and Bram, another guy that we love to hate. And then there's rumours of a late match being added to the card. This is what makes this card for me, stuff like this. You've got veteran Kid Fight, runs PBW that I've talked about earlier. He's been on every single Fear and Loathing, and he's fighting Liam Thompson for the possession of a kitchen sink.
The story
was that Liam Thompson was made homeless, and eventually he was fighting with guys, and he threw everything, including the kitchen sink, at him. So he lost everything, including his kitchen sink, and now he wants his sink back. He had a match with Wolfgang to get his washing machine back a little while ago, so this is for the sink. He can't do that.
No, you can't beat that. That's an amazing storyline. I love that.
Yeah, the match at the top of the card, Jackie Polo versus Lionheart. Lionheart broke his neck in a match against AJ Styles a few years ago, and he's made a comeback and slowly climbed back up to the top of the card. So him laying his career on the line is a big deal. So yeah, hopefully they draw in a few more fans for the big show on Sunday night. But these things are always good, and you can catch it, like Kat says, I think, on High Spots, and they've got their ICW on demand. But it's usually a good show. If the commentary is sometimes a little bit hard to understand, I'd imagine, for non-Americans, because Billy Kirkwood is an excellent commentator, but he does have a habit of throwing in a lot of Scottish slang and Scottish swear words, so it's an experience.
But the show itself is pretty crappy.
As Dara would say.
Nice.
Yeah, these shows are really good. The quality in ring is usually pretty hot, because a lot of the, I think it was the last takeover before this one, every single match had a graduate from ICW in every match in NXT takeover. I mean, you've had guys like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, you've had guys like Aleister Black come through, Trent Seven, Joe Coffey, you know, Nikki Cross. She was a big star over here in ICW. She's fantastic, by the way. She's incredible. But yeah, ICW is a big thing over here.
Is it wrong, you know, and you mentioned Mr. Coffey, if, I'm sorry, but like, wouldn't it be a great gimmick if he had a manager called Decaf?
Oh my God.
Is that just me? I mean, doesn't it just write itself?
The first thing I thought when I saw their names, because they used to wrestle as the Coffee Brothers, I'm like, wait, what, are they going to come out just as like Nescafe or something?
Right.
They have Keurig.
And his finishing Keurig move
into the crowd.
Yeah. That's for the hardcore match.
That's the best giveaway.
I mean, we've had hardcore matches where they've used Lego bricks to bump people on, and carpet boards and stuff like that. So yeah, Keurig pods make the big thing.
Watch out for a move called the Percolator.
Yeah, Joel Coffey. Joel Terrible. Coffey is a guy that I think he's going to go far. He's going to work his way up the UK ranks. I don't think he's necessarily a top tier WWE guy, but I think he could definitely go over to Japan and fit in there perfectly.
Well, if you do love all things wrestling, you can definitely catch Tony Khan and all of his buddies in his wrestling minds on their podcast, which I highly recommend listening to, guys. It is really, really funny. Like, I've learned a lot of different catchphrases, slogans, all of that kind of stuff. It is uncensored, unfiltered, but it's just pure entertainment. It is Smashcast Podcast. You can follow them at We Are Smashcast on Twitter, and you can go ahead and follow them as well if you go to wearesmashcast.wordpress.com. Once again, a show drops every week, and this most recent one was really, really entertaining. So by all means, anywhere fine podcasts are made available, and check them out. Tony, anything that you can tease for this upcoming episode?
Well, Sunday will be an exciting one, because we're all going to be in the same place for the first time. We're going to record an episode live and in person with one microphone, so not entirely sure how this is going to work, but I'm sure it will be as chaotic as usual. George has actually talked about, if you've seen the artwork for our podcast, it's all our faces done cartoon style. So George has actually printed out these faces as masks. So he's now talking about wearing the masks and doing it live on Facebook as well. So keep your eyes tuned to the Twitter feed. We might tease that, but it depends on the Wi-Fi in my hotel. So
yeah.
Oh man, that would be awesome. By the way.
We're going to record one before we start drinking, and then we're going to record one later on after we've been drinking. So the second might be the one to listen to.
If you guys could be live on the internet streaming, I would watch the crap out of that. And I mean, I think that would be amazing.
Grumpy old man doesn't want to be seen on the internet. He refuses to even promote it.
Oh my God. One crotchety guy who's just always angry. I just love hearing him because he's just so bitter, but I love him to death.
he hates everything that's new. And then we got George, who hates everything that isn't WCW. And he hates everything that isn't WWF 1990s. And me, I just hate.
I don't discriminate. I just... Well, if you want to follow the cat as well, you can follow her on Twitter. She is at ArtXCore. You can follow her on Twitter at ArtXCore. And if you want to go ahead and get some of her merchandise, I highly recommend heading on over to artxcore.bigcartel.com. She has plenty of things that you can go ahead and choose from. Kat, is there anything you would like to share in the final moments of this week about you, about wrestling, anything else, your thoughts? The floor is yours.
I don't know. I didn't prepare a closing statement. I don't have anything. I feel like I was supposed to write a paper and I'm like, I forgot the homework to do. I don't know. I've been on pain pills. I'm like I haven't been able to remember anything. Like I'm just like,
blame it on the pain pills. She's about to drop a whole bunch of, secret stuff, Tony. Like, I? Oh, and then I say, what's going on? Oh, I can't help it. It's the pain pills. It's the JBL twist on coming. Exactly.
I'm going to take another 800 milligram ibuprofen and just to go on Twitter and like, absolutely destroyed.
Love it.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm living, man.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you back. We're glad that everything went well. It's awesome to hear your voice as always. Always great to get your insight and your takes as well. And it's always great to get Tony's take as well. You guys, I am honored that you guys joined me this week. I will say this, and I'm probably going to get dinged about 100 times by Tony by doing this, but if you do enjoy this podcast, I am able to be found on Twitter as well. I am at Mike Freeland, that's right, Iron Mike. I can be found also on another podcast, another small show that we do that is on SoundCloud and anywhere else fine podcasts are made available. That is Front Row Material. Myself, Mikey Whipwreck, Jerry Lynn, we talk all things ECW and a lot of other things that our show is sponsored by ADHD medication. And we're really hoping that someone picks us up because the stuff that we go into is here, there, everywhere. But we love involvement as well. So you can find us at FRM Pod on Twitter as well. Like I said, you can find me. Hit us up. Let us know what you think about the show. And that's everything that's going on with me.
You didn't know you wanted to hear Jerry Lynn complain about his guinea pigs until you've heard it.
Yeah.
You know what? you gotta hear about the guinea pigs and the whole our gerbil squirter. You gotta hear that one as well.
Mikey right went through his wife's shopping to see what's for dinner.
Oh my God. Good old chicken parm. Tony made a question appearance on the show this week. So once again, if you ever want to have your questions asked on the show, by all means, hit us up at FRM Pod with your questions and definitely make sure that they get read on air. Also, if you buy a t-shirt from us, God, I am so going into business for myself right now. It is nauseating. If you buy a shirt from us, we will definitely go ahead and we will put you on the air on the podcast. You will be on the show. And you might not want to be, because we literally have the mental capacity of 312-year-olds. So by all means, if you want to, you may
change
in
your Twitter name to Hey, it's Mike Freelanson.
Oh no, man, I am not at that level yet. And, maybe never, but you know what? I'm okay with that. The
world loves fire.
That's right. All right, guys. That seems to be doing it for this week's episode of the Freeland Wrestling Rewind. Once again, we are brought to you by the Trupenny Show. Join James Trupenny and all of his colorful analysts as they talk about everything in the world of professional wrestling, specifically in the world of Japan. They can be found on Twitter and anywhere else on social media, and they are at the Trupenny Show. Or if you need to contact James directly, you can. He is at Sheriff Lone Star on Twitter. Once again, at Sheriff Lone Star on Twitter. And cruise on over to iTunes and go ahead and let them know what you think of the show. We are also featured over there as well. Leave us a review. Let us know the things you'd like to hear, the things that you don't typically like to hear. And we'll listen to that as well, because we are all about interactive with the listeners. So with that being said, for the cat, for Tony Cottam, I am Mike Freeland. We will see you next week on The Rewind.